What seems to be different in our times is that compared to the ancient empires, is they were very visible, an empire, very open, very clear. We are going to rule the world, whether it's Egypt or Babylon or Assyria. And they were great empires before Rome comes in, and Rome is like the same thing but different. It's like it's not worship of the emperor, though it is. It allows all kinds of ideas to come inside of its world. But what happened at the Tower of Babel was, instead of subduing the earth and being fruitful and taking territory with the individual person, they gathered together and wanted to go up. They wanted to go up to the heavens. That was clearly Nimrod's goal. But why? Why did he want to go? Because these people, after the flood, knew that a source outside of the space, outside of the earth realm, caused the flood, which killed off all these entities that were hybrids. And they were created because angels wanted to come down and rule on the earth, make a super race, and they chose for themselves women that walked on the earth. So they put their spiritual semen inside a physical woman and created a new race, which then occupied the dirt in a whole way that was detrimental to the dirt, because they were consuming the vegetation, consuming the real human made in the image of God, and they violated the order. So it all started with God being in a singular space over top of the chaos, the great deep. And it doesn't matter what happened before that. It doesn't, because God is eternal, right? The chaos could represent previous ages. It doesn't matter. It doesn't play to right now. It doesn't play to our soul. None of that stuff helps our soul, knowing anything about previous human potential or any kind of age prior to ours. It doesn't benefit the soul. I was saying that five times. I'll say it again. Because that's the trap. Satan gets you to think about the Tartarians, you know, these big people that built these incredible structures. We don't know how, kind of thing. Okay, so what? What matters is us. What matters is our thoughts. What matters is our way. What matters is how we talk, what we say, what we believe in, what our passions are directed toward. God wants to dwell with us. He is a singular entity proven in the person of Jesus, who God became flesh. He went inside of a womb and became flesh. So what Satan has done is removed the presence of God from our understanding. So if God is an entity, he has locality, he has a throne, he sits somewhere, he stays somewhere, he has a home, right? We want him to dwell with us. He wants to dwell with us. His desire is to be with us. We are his creation. And we pray, thy kingdom come to us. But who is us, right? Well, the mystery is set forth when God scattered the Israelites. He scattered the Judeans. He scattered them over to the ends. So their locality was the whole earth at that point. Why would God not regather to a spot where his Shekinah, which was seen, which was looked upon as it didn't have unlimited space. It was seen in a cloud. It was seen as a pillar of fire. It was seen as Shekinah coming down into Solomon's temple. God came down and dwelt in a structure made with with Solomon's hands, or his design that David gave him. So God came into a dwelling place. And now he's saying, I want to dwell inside of you. I want to live inside of your house, which is you. Yet the whole world is about building big cities and doing space travel and living on the moon or living in Mars or some crazy idea. Where's that come from? Is it not Satan himself who has so effectively removed God's place, his spot where he sets up his throne? And he is ultimately trying to confuse people to think that God is not coming down to sit in Jerusalem. No, Satan's trying to sneak in and put himself there in Jerusalem. Wouldn't that make sense that there is a finish point and it's called Jerusalem because God did dwell in that temple? And God is eternal and God is true and God is shows mercy, but God doesn't forget anything he ever said. He also can destroy any kingdom. But today, we don't act like an empire. It's like diplomacy, it's rules. But yet there is an empire behind the scenes, hiding, deceiving. It's the lies of our time. It's the deception of the ball and the great and outer space and going to space and living in space. That is the ruling authority that puts out the poison, that puts out the lies, that changes the mind. So this great deception has already started. This great falling away is already happening. Because Christians that have Bibles do not agree with what I'm saying. They buy the science, they listen to the words, they submit to the structure, they submit to the way it is. So you got N.T. Wright, you got the guy, the brilliant man in Cambridge. They'll buy into 100,000 years. They'll buy into anything other than young Earth 6,000 years. But they'll say God did it all. But they'll say he made universe. They'll say he made spinning ball, sun in the middle, planets going around. We're just one galaxy of many. They will say that's what it is. And then they'll bring glory to God, they'll say, by the magnitude of how wide and expansive the universe is. And God made all that. No, he didn't. But that doesn't reduce God in any respect by saying God didn't make all this creation of your mind, this lie. Thus, he's smaller. No. All that matters is what is. Heaven is and earth is. The stars are what they are, and the sun does its job, and the moon, and everything within. It's massively huge, and it's massively great, and it's glorious, and it's beautiful. We don't need to go beyond that. That's already massively wonderful. But to think that God lives out between galaxies, that it's what's the space between light years, millions of light years apart? Who owns that space? Nothingness space, black hole space. Who owns that? Is that real estate? Is that locality? There's no locality. But as the Bible sets forth, heaven is a space. It's got an edge. It has all kinds of things going on inside of it. There's structure, there's grass, there's animals, there's beautiful sounds. I'm sure there's somehow some kind of sky, some kind of top. And there's definitely sea, there's water, and there's trees, and there's vegetation. And it's perfect, it's luscious. That is owned by God. Outer space is not owned by anything. It's just a creation of wicked people. God owns things. He doesn't own nothing. Like to say that God owns all that space and to say that he created all that space that is nothing is not good thinking. So when you think about God hovering over the great deep, the darkness, the chaos, right? The beginning of the Bible. Don't you see bright light hanging over darkness? Because God is light. He is the light. And don't you see what would look like a pyramid, a source of incredible light? Because it's not light that goes on into nothingness. Like, what God was a thing. It had edges, and it hovered over the great deep. It had a distance between the Spirit, God himself, and Elohim, the plurality of that, had a distance over top of the, it was measurable. You would look at it from outside. You couldn't, but if you could see God, bright light hanging over top of a pool of darkness, if you could see it. And then God said, let there be light. And then who knows what that looked like, right? Everything is lit up. But the darkness was still there. And the chaos was still there. And then God separated the light from the darkness. It was there, but God put a clear line of division between light, and he called it a day. So you had 12 hours of light and 12 hours of dark. It's just fascinating. And you need to ponder it from the standpoint of Genesis chapter 1 and just sit there with it.